Yes, yes, yes. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise be to God. There's something about worship. When you find yourself in that place, regardless of what you're dealing with, if you can get in the state of worship, whatever is plaguing you, whatever hardship you're dealing with, whatever weight you might be carrying, when you begin to praise God, something seems to break open in heaven. Talking about worship. Thank you, choir. Hey. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. Would you just praise God for a few moments? Come on now. Let's give God glory. For he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Thank you. That's good. Amen. Amen. My beloved, I'm excited to be here with you today. I will admit, let me do protocols first. Giving all honor and glory to our Heavenly Father, to Jesus Christ, the Blessed Son, and to the Holy Spirit, to the under-shepherd of this church, Pastor Mark Roy, to the lovely First Lady, Sister Brenda Roy, and to all the other members of the clergy, the deacons, deaconess, officers of this church, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether you are in the edifice or online, I greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I will admit, Pastor, when I got up this morning, it was too early to be up. In fact, I had a hard time sleeping last night. Yeah. I was so excited about being able to come here and to be in fellowship with you today. I was. So if I begin to fall asleep in service, you can blame me for that. But if you begin to fall asleep in service, we can blame the comfortable chairs, right? We can blame the chairs. But I thank God for being here with you and on this interesting kickoff of the 22nd anniversary for Good Shepherd Ministries Church. That's a good name for a church, isn't it? That means whatever you're struggling, if you wind up straying, somebody gonna come get you, right? That's the kind of church this is. I know. Amen. Amen. And certainly to Pastor and First Lady for 11 years of service. Let's thank God for them. Amen. Amen. Now, that's kind of customary what we do, but if you really love them, give them a standing ovation. I mean, if this is real, don't stand if it's not real. This is the house of God. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you, though, when I first met Pastor Roy, I realized that he was a funny guy. He likes to pick at folk. And I noticed how nobody seemed to get mad and throw a chair or nothing like that. So that says he must have a genuine relationship with you, right? That members of your family can say stuff and you might punch somebody else, but for them, you give them special grace, right? Amen. Amen. I love this brother for the first time I met him. And I told him, I guess it was at the MLK event, and he was going up into the pulpit to make some remarks. And, you know, being an athlete, he's got one leg, though, don't always want to cooperate. And I told him, I said, you know, just the drive in you is noticeable. And you know how God will just reveal stuff to you about a person? And to me, my God, I think you guys have a choice pastor. And I thank God for being able to meet with him and to enjoy working with him on this executive committee that we serve on. So again, congratulations to the church. Congratulations to the under-shepherd and first lady. Congratulations to each and every one of you being here today. Now, it's interesting. When I was driving this way, I was on the phone talking with my mother, and I was telling her I was coming here to fellowship with her, with you guys, and I was telling her what your theme was and what your selected Bible verses were, and she just started laughing. She said, "Son, just the other day I was in the doctor's office," and he said, "Mother Marshall, do you have any wisdom for me today?" And she called on the same Bible verse that you guys have selected. Now, some might say that's a coincidence, but I think God is out of the mouth of two or three. The truth is being established. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So I love your thing. To me, it's a declaration, and everybody can make that declaration that it is the Lord's way for our church. Well, it's the Lord's way for each and every one of us. Amen. Not just yesterday, today, but always the Lord's way. And I hope that the Lord will use me to declare a message with you today that will touch your heart and leave you with something that you can use in the coming weeks. I will tell you that is inspired by certainly the theme and the scripture that you selected. And that's one of my favorite scriptures, by the way, but it is definitely inspired by God. So if you fall asleep, I'm going to look to God and say, what happened? But I think God's got a word for you today. Turn with me, if you would, to the selected passage for the theme. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3 and 5. And while you're going there, I want to acknowledge the young people participating in the service. Amen. That does my heart good to see that. Amen. Oh, my. Proverbs 3 and 5, my beloved. In the King James Version, you'll find these words recorded. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct thy paths. Amen. You may be seated. For a few moments of your time, I would like to talk to you on the subject. It's really a question. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Now, I'm not Pastor Roy. I'm not going to step on your toes too hard. Please. But when I step on you, just recognize I'm stepping on me too. Let us pray. Precious God Almighty, we're delighted again to be assembled as you have declared in your word, that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves as some others do. And God, we've come today with an expectation and a desire in our hearts to worship you. The expectation, God, is that you will move like thou has already, and that you will continue to move in our life. God, except that you do it, it won't get done. We acknowledge that. Our abilities fall short, Lord. So we ask that you would step in the gap and fill the void in the name of Jesus. It's preaching time, God, as you know. And this, your manservant, stand before your people to give a word that only you can inspire. Let my intellect, my experience, and all that become a backdrop that your words might come forward and speak with volume. God, unstop the ears and make the heart receptive, and then cause the hands to itch that they might labor in what they hear. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My beloved, the book of Proverbs, just easier. Everything in this church grow tall. I'm seeing that. Everything, is, even the pulpit is tall. So I'll bring this down to my level. Normal people height.
All right.
All right. Amen. My beloved, the book of Proverbs, we know, is written by King Solomon. You know, King Solomon, that character in the Bible, that he's the second king of Israel. And when God asked him what he wanted God to do for him, his request was, in my mind, quite notable. He asked God to make him able to have a good understanding that he might be able to judge the people properly. And because of what he asked was so humble, because he said he was just a child and needed that maturity from God, God not only gave him wisdom that surpassed anybody, but he also gave him wealth that also surpassed anybody. And he told him that if you stay like your dad, connected in my proverbs and in my commandments, in my statutes, you shall also have long life.
Yeah, yeah.
Whew. Now, how many of you know if God said that to any one of us, we'd be like, oh, yeah, Lord, I'll be good. What do you mean? You're going to treat me like that in return? Of course. But that's another story. So in Proverbs, we find that it's like a father giving advice to his children. This king of wisdom is dropping pearls of wisdom upon his family. It's the same when asked what God would give to him. He got wisdom, and now he's imparting that to the next generation. So no wonder my heart was moved when I saw this generation be so active in the worship service today, the younger people, because we're trying to impart to them that same wisdom that's been handed down through the ages. Wisdom. You know, this Solomon is the same one that said that wisdom is the principal thing. Then he said, in all thy getting, get understanding.
Get understanding. Yes, sir.
My beloved, I tell you, I'd rather be a wise broke man than to be a rich fool.
Amen.
Any day. Because a wise broke man can make something out of nothing.
Yes, sir.
And the rich fool will take something and make it into nothing.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This Solomon is the same one that had all of this wealth, and he sampled many delicacies in life, but he was unfulfilled. He struggled within himself, and he came to a place of saying that all of life is vanity. All of it. And then he came to this realization and this conclusion that the duty of man is to what? Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Wow. The same one, the same Solomon. So no wonder in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, he's still huddling around the concept about wisdom and being in reverence to God, why that is so key. And he's trying to pass that on to his children. So we know that in Proverbs, if we look at the very first verse of Proverbs, because I like to go not just starting where we are in this passage, I want to go to the top, in the top of the chapter, so I can get some context and some flow associated with that. And so in Proverbs 3 and 1, it opens up with, he's saying, my son.
Yeah.
Now, allow me to digress for just a moment. I'm blessed to have two sons and a daughter-in-law that I call daughter. And I'm blessed with them because all of them love God.
Amen.
All of them are living the purpose that God has breathed into them. And all of them are blessing to other people.
Yes,
all of them. And I am honored to be part of what God's doing in their lives. I'm honored to have the role of father with them. So when I read this passage, though maybe the author did not intend this, when I read my son, I don't read my son. I read my son.
Yeah.
My son, my children. And so with that fervor, when I look at this passage, it resonates with me. And I think about what's being said. I can feel the intensity that's there. This Proverbs father is passing wisdom onto the son. And he tells the son to what? Forget not the law. In fact, he said, my law. Notice he said, forget not my law.
That's right.
Now, I want to emphasize, Solomon's not talking about the law he created.
Yeah.
He's talking about the law he adopted to be his.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is my law given by my God, and I want you to not forget it. Forget not my law. My beloved, I can tell you, I can be forgetful sometimes. I can. There's some faces and some names I've gotten all mixed up down through the years. And I find out that the older I get, the worse I get at that. How y'all do? And I'm so amazed when I run across people that have that sharp mind and they can remember everything back 30, 40, 50 years ago. I got a brother like that, by the way. We call him the elephant in the family. He doesn't forget anything. But God did not give me that gift and I forget stuff. So I need to be reminded.
Yeah.
Forget not the law of God.
Yeah.
And the writer Solomon goes on to say that you need to secure it in your heart, the soul. That word translated as heart sometimes is translated soul. That inner presence. Get it inside of you. To forget it not and place it there so you always have that operating from the inside going out.
Yeah.
And he said, if you do it, you have the length of days, long life, and peace. Now, let's not forget that word peace, because having a long life and turmoil, it doesn't seem too exciting to
me.
Yes,
sir.
But to know that you can have a long life and peace too? Hallelujah. God is so gracious, isn't he? And what he gives to us. Then he tells them likewise to secure mercy and truth around his neck and wear it like an ornament that he don't forget, and then to write it upon the tables of his heart.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Again, the inner presence of ourselves, write it there. And if you do this, there's a promise that comes that you will find favor and good understanding in the eyes of God and man.
Yeah.
Whoo! Favor. Favor. Now, we know that there's such thing called prosperity preaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People will tell you, you do this and God gonna do that, right? And that's kind of cool, but I like it when God says it.
Yeah.
And what God says you got to do to get it. I'd rather pay attention to how he instructs us than to what somebody has to say. And he's saying in his word that if you do these things, you'll have favor in the eyes of man and God.
My Lord, my Lord.
Whew. Thank you, Jesus. And then now, of course, my beloved, this brings me now to focus on the key verses that's part of your theme today. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Trust. Believe in. Hope in. Count on. Be sure of. Trust. But where can we place blind trust? That's the question. Who can you blindly trust today? Can you trust the elected officials? They can't agree on whether there was an insurrection or an enthusiastic protest. Can you trust the scientists? They can't agree if there's global warming or it's just an anomaly. Can you trust even the healthcare industry? They can't even agree if COVID vaccination is good or not good for you long term. Can you trust the clergy? Well, you can trust this one, but can you trust clergy in general? They can't even agree on whether there's a hell or there's no hell.
Wow, that's real talk.
Can you trust the food industry? Is it okay to microwave your food, or do you have to get the convection energy to heat your foods? Can you trust law enforcement? That no, it's not profiling, or yes, it is, and no, it's prudent policing. Who can you trust? Can you trust your best friend? And you don't know if it's fact or opinion, it depends how strongly they emphasize it. Can you even always blindly trust loved ones? They make mistakes just like I do. So who can you trust completely? The writer of Proverbs said, trust the Lord with all thy heart. That's who you can trust, my beloved.
Hallelujah.
Not your own imaginations or your own understanding, but you trust God unquestionably. No room for doubt. No room for questioning. Trust him. What would it be like to blindly trust God? Come and on. To do things exactly how God said do it.
Come on, Rachel.
What would that be like?
Help us out. Help us out.
Might I have less struggle? Might I have less issues in my life? Maybe. Maybe not. But I can tell you this. I'd rather go through hard times with God than to go through it without God.
Hallelujah.
To think about living life without God is a frightening proposition. I hope, God, please never take thy love from me. Now, he made it plain that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So then in verse 6, the writer goes on to say, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge, to declare the goodness of the Lord, to acknowledge, to accept, to receive that which God provides, that we do that in a way in our actions, our thoughts, our words, everything that we do is a point of to acknowledge God completely. Now, I suspect that if you're like me, you got some room for improvement in that area. Wait a minute. Let me say that again, because you can just say it under your breath. Nobody else have to hear this. If you're like me, you probably have some room for improvement in your life.
Yes, sir.
You know that there's something that has not been completely given over to God that demonstrates a blind trust in Him.
Amen.
Something.
Amen.
Hopefully not a whole bunch of things, but something. But if we trust in the Lord with all thine heart, if we lean not to our own understanding, if we in all our ways acknowledge Him, He promises to direct our paths. Have you ever gone to God and asked God, should I do thus and thus? Give me a sign. Tell me, Lord, speak now. Help me, lead me, God, in this situation. Well, here we find in God's word, He's already declared that He will direct us. But it's conditional. Gotta trust the pastor, like you said. You gotta trust him. So in Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8, encompassing the two scriptures that is part of your theme, I can break it down into this as a summary. And there's the, when regards the law and the commandments, there's some actions related. And the actions regarding the law and the commandments is forget not, keep, bind them about your neck, and write them on your heart. And then there's some things also, some actions related to the thing called God's way. God's way is to what? Trust, lean not to your own, and acknowledge always. And those things, those steps, those actions are related to what God has laid out in His word. If we do the law and the commandments piece, if we do it God's way, the benefits are clear. Length of days and long life and favor and good understanding. And then to me, the cherry on the top, direction. Thank you, Lord. See, my beloved, the way of God, that direction I'm talking about begins with a journey called salvation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Salvation. Jesus, when you're talking about the way, He declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. John 14 and 6. Because our best intentions, let me say that again, our best intentions and our best performance comes up short.
Yes, sir.
This to me is the most important thing about my Christian walk, is to recognize I'm broke and I'm rock and I got work to do, Lord. And please don't lead me till the work is complete.
That's right. That's right.
One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And I call him Apostle because he called himself an apostle. I guess I'm okay to say that. But anyway, Paul, he said this. He said, being confident of this very thing. He which begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You get that? God knows that if He backs away and let us continue to work it out on our own, we're going to mess it up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not that we don't want to do it right, God, but we're going to mess it up. What did Jesus say to His disciples in the garden? He said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Believe it or not, I got the same flesh they did way back then.
That's right.
So Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we find that Jesus offered Himself to be the perfect replacement for us, because somebody was going to pay the penalty for our sin.
Yeah.
Somebody. The Bible says that there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Something had to die because of my sin, your sin, our sin. Something had to die. And we know that back in the day with the children of Israel and them walking around the tabernacle, they gave offerings to God. They offered up sacrifice of animals and the blood on the altar and so forth. They went through those requirements to be better connected with God and to be reminded who God is. Well, aren't you glad we don't have to butcher Bambi anymore?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad Woody Woodpecker is okay?
Because
Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Because of His perfection and being God who put on flesh to die on our behalf. This is God's way, my beloved. And we trust God in that. So, trust in God. It's the proper thing to do. God's way is superior to our own way. And even if we don't understand, we need to recognize that God's not going to take the time to explain everything to us. Lord, I really wish I could understand why this is happening to me. Sometimes God's not going to tell you.
Thank God.
Amen. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Here's why God don't tell us everything. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The truth is, what God desires to do is non-negotiable, and it can't be corrected. It's irrefutable. And then if you think about how high God is from us, you consider then what Paul said when he was given his declaration in the court. And he said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He goes on to say, for who have known the mind of God, or who have been his counselor? Now, we know Job tried to counsel God on some matters that he was dealing with.
Yeah.
And he wanted to question God, why is this happening to me?
Uh-huh.
And then God began to give Job a series of responses. Like, where were you when this happened? Where were you when I created that? Do you understand how I framed this? And by the time he got done with Job, Job realized, it's not my place to question you. It's my place to trust you.
Yes, sir.
Trust God, my beloved. Whatever you're dealing with right now in your life, whatever the struggle might be, trust him. See, when we trust our own way, we get the world we now dwell in. When we trust it our way, this is what we get. But when we trust God, we get that eternal destination that God is drawing us to, where a place has been prepared for us in heaven. See, my beloved, when we walk in the way of God, we wind up in heaven for eternity. When we walk with God, whether it's in the Garden of Eden and experience the cool of day like Adam once did, or our walk might be like being in the Garden of Gethsemane with the weariness and the torment that the disciples felt. In either case, we trust God. Now notice the contrast of the two gardens. In the one case, the Garden of Eden is plush and is tranquil, and everything is right there for you and available, easy access. And then in the case of the other garden, Gethsemane, we find that there's tension, and then eventually there's betrayal present. But in both extremes, the good and the bad, we trust God regardless.
Amen.
When we trust God, we gain. We fear not. We press. We always abound. Whether we see the good or not, we continue to be delight ourselves in God. For he said that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Delight yourself in the Lord, my beloved. But when we devise our own ways, we encounter wrong turns, and not so when we travel God's way. Permit me to say just a little more. God understands the complexities of life, all the nuances and the difficulties and the wrong turns. He knows all of that. He knows it before it happened. He knows it generations preceding before it happened. He knows. So if God understands all of that and how it works, do you believe he will guide you in the best pathways to pursue? Do you believe that? I think it depends on to what degree you trust him. Now, you might say, well, I want to trust him, Rev, but I don't know if God has my best interest at heart. You might say that.
Amen.
But I want to draw your attention to a couple things. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a love element kicked in there. And then you say, okay, that sounds good, but it gets even better when you hear what Jesus had to say in John 15 and 13. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
See, in this case, we know that Jesus' actions spoke louder than words, because Jesus bled on Calvary's hill that we might not have to.
That's right.
He was the sacrifice. So when we think about what Solomon wrote in Trust the Lord with All Thy Heart, all of that's wrapped into it. The ultimate plan that God has designed and destined for us, all of that is present in that one little phrase, trust the Lord. And when you find that you can't trust Him, you can do it with your whole heart, and you're not deterred by what's going on in your life. You're not doubting because you don't see the victory just yet. It doesn't seem to be coming when you thought that it would. You still keep on trusting regardless. A person that behaved like that has a made up mind for God.
Yes,
I've decided that I don't care what's going on in my life. I'm going to trust God. It may take me out of this world, but it cannot take me out of that eternal destination.
Yes, sir.
What God has for me is for me.
Preach,
trust God with your whole heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Do you believe it?
Yeah. My Lord.
All right, I'm going to put you to a test.
Come on now.
I've never done this before. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be an oral exam. I'm going to give you some scenarios. I'm going to blurt out some thoughts. And you're going to tell me whether that is God's way or that is man's way.
My Lord.
See if you can discern the difference. You ready? Open book test.
Open book test.
Yeah, you can break the Bible open.
Yeah, okay.
You whatever you need to do. It's not cheating. It's just looking ahead. That's all right.
Yeah.
Here's the test.
I'm waiting,
y'all. You tell me. I want you to shout it out with a voice that you are confident in your answer.
Preach, man.
Whether it's God's way or man's way. So here we go. Y'all ready? Cheating on your taxes. Whose way is that? Y'all said man's way?
All right.
Harboring hatred towards someone, is that God's way or man's way? Lying, cheating, and gossiping. Pastor, they doing good. Abusing your own body. Envying and coveting another's stuff. What about returning good for evil? See, that was a trick question. That was a trick question. All right, I'm going to give you another chance. Now you know that was a trick question. All right, I'm going to say it again. Here we go. Y'all ready? Returning good for evil. God's way. I want to make sure y'all with me now. What about this? Ignoring the needs of the poor. Living selflessly.
God's way.
Living selfishly?
God's
way. Y'all got two different responses. Y'all gonna have to like God declare God commands selfishly.
Selfishly.
All right. I'll give them that, Pastor. What about this? Fearing God and keeping His commandments. What? Fearing God and keeping His commandments. Oh, here we go. All right. Except for the thing I threw at you, that little trick question. I thought y'all did really good, Pastor. I thought they were really good. Amen. Now, the question is, since we know what's God's way and what is our way, is there anything within us that needs adjusting?
Oh, yeah.
And if we really say we're going to do it God's way, that means something in us has to change.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Who do you trust?
Amen.
It is God's way today. That's a bold declaration as far as I'm concerned. It declares that there's a desire for God to give you the will to do His will.
Yes, sir.
To nurture a willingness within you involves denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Christ daily.
Mm.
And such a walk prompts us to ask a few more questions like, Lord, what do you require of me? God, what do you require of me? Now, some people, that's a frightening question to ask because he might tell you. Then what you do with that? Oh, God, you know I can't do that. They're not going to receive me. If I say something, they don't look at me like I'm crazy, God. I don't know, God. The last time I tried that, this is what they did. No, God. But I encourage you to invite God to reveal to you what he requires of you. It's better to run with God than to run against God. It's better. I can guarantee it. So I'm coming around the horn on this message. I want you to know, I'll share with you this personal story. I was living in Texas at the time, and I was visiting with some co-workers in another city, and it's over an hour drive to get there, and I overstayed my welcome. I stayed too long, and I wanted to miss that Houston rush hour traffic. Anybody ever been to Houston? You ever been caught in that traffic? It doesn't make a difference if you're on the super highway. It doesn't make a difference. That thing come bumper to bumper, and you're going to be there a moment. So I was like dreading that, and one of my coworkers suggested, well, you can go this way, and that'll make you kind of go past all the traffic, and it'll get you home faster. And something in my spirit was saying, You ever had that happen with you?
Yeah.
Like there's something, and you feel like that doesn't feel right. But I just obeyed the other voice because these were co-workers. They weren't the best for me. They were trying to help out. And so they gave me directions. And I'm now heading, following those directions. And I'm in a place I'd never seen before. I don't recognize any of the landmarks. And all I see now are houses along the way. And it's starting to get dark. Now I could even barely see the street signs. Now, beloved, this is before GPS and cell phones.
Yeah.
I'm on a road that's strange in an area I've never seen before, and I don't know where I am. I am completely lost. And the more I drive, the more concerned I become.
Yeah.
And then while I'm driving and fretting and dreading, and I don't even remember if I was praying. I think I was so twisted in that time frame. I saw this red filling up my vehicle. And I turned around, looked in the rearview mirror, and there was a state trooper in my bumper. And he was pulling me over. Now my heart's really racing because I'm in Texas. And I don't know what I'm going to see. And this gentleman walks over. And he asked me to roll my window down. And I turned my head slowly to look at him. And I got, it's a brother. I know I should not to say that. That's I shouldn't right. even need to right. say that. But I was glad it was a brother that pulled me over. He said, do you know you were speeding, sir? No, I didn't think I was. Well, yes, you were. Okay. So he gave me a citation. And he also gave me directions that got me to places that I could recognize. Because once I got there, I knew where I was and where I needed to go. My beloved, God's really very like much like that. You see, we're on this dark road going in the wrong place if we not receive Christ. And we're just driving along and getting lost, and more lost. And then God sends somebody in our rearview mirror that pulls us over and gives us a citation because there are consequences for disobeying God.
That's right. That's right.
Turn us around and get us pointed in the right direction. God will do it. Won't God do it? And I would not have experienced that if I had trusted the right voice in the first place. Trying to save some time cost me more time. Cost me the time of just driving to try to get home. And then worse than that, I had to show up in court. And I was the last person on a long docket of people that talked to the judge. How much time did I save in that process? See, my beloved, this is what happens when we don't do it God's way. It costs. It costs something. So the moral of the story is don't follow your own paths that are perceived to be the best route. Follow the urgings that God places on us. Do it God's way rather than our own way. See, my beloved, God's way requires us to follow Christ. God's way requires a surrender and to receive salvation. God's way requires forgiving those that have harmed and hurt us. God's way involves prayer on a daily basis. God's way requires us to bear not false witness. God's way tells us to judge not. God's way tells us to obey God regardless. God's way said, be not weary in well-doing. God's way tells us to love our neighbors, and then it turns around and tells us to love our enemies. God's way. God's way tells us, be not conformed, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God's way. And then in Psalm 3, we find that God's way tells us to trust with our whole heart and to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him. And then He shall direct our paths. Solomon said, fear God, keep His commandments. That's God's way. And any church that declares it's going to do it God's way, Good Shepherd Ministries Church. Any church that declares it's going to do it God's way, by default, they will operate contrary to the mainstream. By default.
Yes, sir.
By default. Any church that makes that declaration will not be influenced by the popular opinions and the cultural norms.
That's right.
It's going to operate outside of that.
That's right.
Rather, they will commit the whole heart to trust God, to follow God, to represent God. Knowing this, my beloved, they demonstrate who it is they trust.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's give God glory for the message today. Amen. Amen.